the love of Christ and how we should give more love to Him. And I'm going to challenge you this morning to evaluate your love, not only toward God, but also to evaluate your love toward others, and maybe even more specifically that way, because the way we show God is love is to love one another. So we're going to evaluate that this morning. And the passage we read just a couple minutes ago said that you'll know, people will know that we're disciples of Christ, we're followers of Jesus, by our love for one another. And the word in that passage is know, they'll know that we're Christians by our love. They will experience, it's not that they will know it in their heads, just their heads, but they will experience it by the fact that we love one another. So we want to explore what exactly that means. A love that never fails is the kind of love that God gives to us. He gives us this perfect and wonderful love that comes down through Christ, makes a way for us to believe in Him, the fact that He died and He came back to life, to turn our lives completely over to His control. And that love, we look up to God and we say, oh, that's a great, great love, and He loves us so much and cares for us. And in that process, we give ourselves to the Lord. And His love never fails, but our love, on the other hand, looks a little bit different. And what happens is the world is looking for a sign from church and church people. And really, they're looking for the church, but we are the church. We can be light. And the crazy world gets a crazy picture of who we are. And if you look, what they're looking for is something that's very consistent. If you pulled up to a light like this, would you know what to do? You'd have a little bit of trouble, wouldn't you? I mean, it might work on a good dance floor or something, but it's not going to work very well to give us direction. And the world is looking at the crazy perspective of the church, and sometimes, by the way, that we don't love. And what they really need is something much more consistent, something that's very gauged and precise. And when they see something that makes sense to them, they're going to go, wow. You've had that happen in your life, right? People come up to you and say, I don't know how you go through that problem. And you have opportunity to share because of how you live. Well, the same is true with our love. And so we're Jesus people. We're not just church people. We need to be people who love like Jesus loved. We need to be consistent. The scripture we're looking at this morning is from 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 6. And Joe, I'm going to put you back to work, because instead of just reading this scripture, we're going to sing it. I like scripture songs. We're going to fire up and see if we can. Well, I'll sing it. At least you'll get it, right? Maybe you'll get it the second time through.
Does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Always protects, it always trusts, always holds love, always perseveres, it always protects, always trusts, always holds love, always perseveres. Love is patient, love is kind, follow the way of love, follow the way of love, follow the way of love, follow the way of love.
Does that help you guys? I know. I learned that. Actually, that was a song from Bible school a few years back, many years back. And until that point, I'd never memorized that particular passage. I could tell you some of the things. But now, when I'm standing up to do sermons or preach at weddings, I'm saying, love is patient, love is kind. But what's going on in my head is, get the little groove going on. So it helps us. Music helps us to absorb what God has to say to us. So we're going to look at this morning about some of the things. Is it in there again? We'll scroll on past. All right. There we go. We're going to look at some of the things in the first part of the passage very quickly, so strap in and get ready to go, okay? Love is patient and love is kind. How many of you guys have been believers for like more than a year? All right, great. How many of you guys have been like more than 10? More than 20? Okay, so look, we got a lot of hands up. Here's what happens. Love is patient, love is kind. We're going to cover these two points just quick. Sometimes we're so attuned to what God's brought us through that we forget what it's like to be brand new at this. Love says they're going to get there. All right? And so if we can love in that way, it gives us opportunity to allow them, other people, to grow up, mistakes, the same mistakes that we made that we've already forgotten about. Next point. Love is patient. Love is kind. Kind's pretty easy. And then we're going to tackle the next three. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. In Galatians 5:25, we read that since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking each other to anger. So what happens is when we become prideful and boasting, then we promote evil and we cause other people to stumble. Paul said in 2 Corinthians that he would boast only in his weaknesses, because when I am weak, Christ is made strong. And so we're not supposed to be, love is not envying, love is not boastful, and love is not prideful. A friend of mine, Bill Carter, said this, "I wish I was young enough to know everything again." Can you relate to that? Well, hopefully you can. That means you're maturing. So love is not proud. Love is not rude. And it's not selfish. It's not rude. We need to say what we mean, but not say it mean. Love's not proud. It's not rude. It's not selfish. In Philippians 2, we're told this, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves, even if they're not. Each of you should look out not only for your own interest, but also the interest of others." So there's selfish. We've covered selfishness. It's not easily angered. Philippians 2:14, it says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing." And what happens is we let our anger well up inside of us way, way, way too often. And we become people who are angry. And when we're angry, we're not loving. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Notice I put up there scorekeeping. Bringing up the past. Trying to figure out who's done more, who's done less, who's been nicer, who's been meaner. That's not love. And so now, we have the red lights on the top, and then the green lights on the bottom. And we're trying to figure out there's no delight in evil. You don't get excited when bad things happen to bad people. And it rejoices in the truth. So this is a picture of what love looks like. And when we study 1 Corinthians, we usually study these ideas right here. And then we kind of tack on the next four. I'm going to do just the opposite. I kind of ran through the first ones. You've heard a lot of good sermons, a lot of good messages on those. How's your love in those areas? Well, we're going to move on to what love always does. What love always does. Now, you've heard stories about love and how love always protects. I mean, you've heard about the man who jumped in front of the speeding bear. You've heard about the guy who wrestled the angry train. I mean, you've heard those stories, right? And love protects. And it does stuff out of this motherly and fatherly and friend and takes a bullet for someone. But there's a different way to protect people besides just that. And the first one I want to talk to you about is gossip. It's about talking out of turn. In James chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, it says this, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be." Now, you see how that's confusing to the world. We come, we praise God, we sing about how great God is, how we want to turn our lives over to Him, and then we talk bad about other people. That does not protect other people. Love always protects. And that means fewer words many times than what roll through our mind. In Romans 13:10, it says, love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. If we love our neighbor, we do good. We do good for our neighbor. Have any of you seen on the internet or through emails or Facebook the coffee with Jesus? No? If you go online and look for some of them, some of them won't be as good as these. Just so you know. Some of them are a little bit, I don't know, thought-provoking and a little bit rough. But what they do is they basically take a cartoon strip, and there's four cartoons, and I'll put them up here in a minute. And they imagine that if you were having coffee with Jesus, what He would say. And what we'd like to think is if we had coffee with Jesus, it would be just like, hey, Jesus, how you doing? And we'd just be just good friends. But if we just started today having coffee with Jesus, it might be a little rugged, because there's a lot of stuff you might not necessarily approve of. So here's a coffee with Jesus strip for you this morning. Here you go. Well, I tried that whole do unto other things, Jesus, but it just doesn't work in reverse. People aren't doing unto me like I want them to do to me. Well, there was never a guarantee that people would reciprocate, Anne. People by nature are selfish. You can show them a better way someday. All will be right. Someday. Well, that's a very pretty notion, Jesus. The dog-eat-dog world out there, and I'm done being a chew toy for these selfish hounds. Well, if you're going to go with a dog analogy, I'm forced to liken to you one of those little spoiled, yipping little dogs that ride in their master's lap in a car. So, you know, I think we imagine sometimes that if we had coffee with Jesus, it would be this nice thing. But Jesus took time to rebuke as well as to love and to show us that we're all into ourselves. You know, He told the Pharisees, call them snakes, call them dirty cups, call them, just call them out. And I think we think Jesus is just wants to do that, do just the opposite with us, but just always just kind of hang out with us. But He wants us to love other people and not so get into ourselves. So we protect people by not gossiping, and then we protect people by not letting unfiltered words go out. Aren't you glad you have a filter to some degree on your brain? I mean, some of you guys wish it worked better, right? Like me. Going, oh, wish I could have those words back. But when we say what we think, without regard for how it's going to affect other people, then we're not protecting other people, and we are not loving. Light travels faster than sound, and that's why some people appear very bright until they speak. And the world looks at Christians sometimes, they look at me and you, and we just wish we could turn that filter on a little bit sooner. But the truth of the matter is, we all think pretty bad thoughts sometimes. We all think some pretty bad things about people. And fortunately, I would like to think, give you the benefit of the doubt, most of the time your filter catches a lot of that stuff, right? And sometimes the bad things that we think, if they're said, they hurt people for a lifetime. For example, in a moment of anger, you may actually think some really bad thoughts about somebody, like, I'd like to punch you in the face. And if you didn't control your words and you said, I'm going to punch you in the face, they're going to remember that. The truth of the matter is, at that moment, you wanted to punch somebody in the face. Because then what we say is, I really didn't mean that. Well, yeah, you did. You meant it just for a second. Overarchingly, do you want to constantly punch that person in the face? No. But you did for a moment. You might say something like, you're so stupid. And we're not protecting people. And did you mean it? Yeah, for that second, what you meant was that's a stupid thing you did, or I'm so angry, or you're right, and I don't like it. And we say, you're so stupid. And that person remembers that you think they're stupid. Overarchingly, do you think that person's stupid? No, but you planted a seed that breaks relationships. And so we're always to protect. We've got to use very few words. Use very few words. So love always protects, and love always trusts. And probably the big thing in counseling, there's two areas, my next two points, that come up over and over again when people have relationship troubles, is speculation is one of them. Speculation. We start thinking about other people. We don't trust them. We say, I bet they're doing this out there behind my back. And we roll this untrusting attitude in our mind of speculation. I bet they're doing this. I know what they're doing when I'm not there. I know what they're saying about me. And we don't trust people. The Scriptures teach us we're to be sober-minded. In Titus 3:8 it says this. This is a trustworthy saying. And I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These are excellent and profitable for everyone. God has gifted every person, especially among the believers, the Holy Spirit is guiding them, is going to bring them to the point of correctness in their life. He who began the work will be faithful to complete it. And we need to trust that God's going to do that, and we need to give trust to people. And saying I trust you and acting out I trust you are two different things. You want to protect somebody, you can say, oh, I trust you. But when you say that, we need to quit checking up on people. We need to quit spying and second-guessing. And some people think they have the gift of second-guessing. That's a spiritual gift. Above all else, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. And so in our conversations, when we're showing trust and we're protecting people and we're loving people by trusting them, it doesn't mean they won't fail us, but it means that we give them opportunity to prove that they can do better. And in that atmosphere, oftentimes that's what happens. Not when I'm being spied on, not when I'm being checked up on, but when I'm given freedom and saying, you can do this. You can make a good choice. So love always trusts and love always hopes. So speculation is one thing that's going to kill your love. Then the next thing would be judging people's motives. Oh, they just did this because. And I know what they're thinking. You ever caught yourself doing that? Oh, I know what they're thinking. No, you don't. You might be right, but you might be wrong. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Proverbs 16:2. You want to protect people? Start in your own mind. Don't judge their motives. Among the family of believers, give them the benefit of the doubt. And encourage people. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Encourage one another. Build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And assume that they're making good choices and tell them so. A friend of mine at youth camp has fewer problems than most youth camps. And his policy is that you guys are here, you're the best of the best, I expect you guys to do the right thing. He has far fewer problems than the camps that have, you know, 1,000 rules and all the hoops to jump through, because he puts it on them. And for those who are believers, the Holy Spirit living inside, I expect that you're going to honor God in this situation. So love hopes all things. Sometimes we don't have hope because we don't see other people's perspectives. And someone asked, why do you always take the hard road? And I replied, why do you assume I see two roads? Sometimes people are taking the only path they see. They see no other options. And we need to give them hope, and we need to give them encouragement. We need to try to see things from their perspective. So if we're going to have hope in other people, We're going to show love by hoping, then we have to not judge people's motives. And then finally, well, actually, let's get to a little coffee with Jesus time again. And it goes like this. So Jesus, this car goes racing past me on the highway, swerving from lane to lane. And get this, had a bumper sticker for that Christian radio station. What a shame. No joke, if you're going to support that vapid radio station by displaying that sticker, maybe you should at least drive courteously. And Jesus says, I'm sorry, Kevin. I meant, it's a shame that you spend all your day looking for people to judge so you can feel better about yourself. Love always hopes, and love always perseveres. Proverbs 15:9, as we wrap up, the Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue righteousness. Perseverance means picking up and putting the past behind us. It's saying, maybe I haven't loved as well as I could, but I'm going to persevere. I'm going to move on. I'm going to try to do these things. I'm going to try to find hope. I'm going to try to encourage people. And it picks up and it moves on and it reaches out again. And collectively, love begins with you. And then it turns into the love that we have for each other. And then it becomes a signal to the world. And we should never look back unless we're planning on going that way again. Love always perseveres. And so we move from this idea of love into this crazy what the world sees, and we help them move from there to hopefully see the kind of love that never fails. The love of Christ in our lives. Let's make a clear statement to the world. If you had coffee with Jesus this morning, maybe you already did. Maybe that's part of your routine, and it should be. And if you have coffee with Jesus, what happens is, if you have it with him regularly, it gets pretty rugged. But the more regular you do it, the more you work on your life, the more love comes through, and the less he has to say, and the more sweet the fellowship is. So as we come to this time of invitation, I challenge you in this way. Don't ask God to guide your footsteps if you're not willing to move your feet. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that we could be more people of more love. God, that we could be more like you. God, that we could protect other people. That we could trust other people more. We could have hope in other people. And God, that you would give us the strength to persevere. We give this moment to you, Father, to say, teach us and grow us as we sing to you. In Jesus' name I pray.